Hello and welcome to this week's episode. It's another guest episode, which I'm super excited about. I have got my friend Ross coming on today, Ross Wilson. He is the CEO of Evolving Heights, and that will make sense when I'm in the conversation with him. Ross's Unsure to Unstoppable story has went from him being transforming his physique, transforming his mindset hugely, and transforming his career. And he's went from corporate into becoming a coach, which is absolutely incredible. I met Ross through the coaching program that I used to be in, and our paths are very much similar but different in a very beautiful way. So I'm excited for this conversation with Ross. It's a bit different, it's a bit out there, which I love. We'll be back in a second. We'll be joined by Ross. All right, I am back and I'm joined by Ross, my very good friend. I'm so excited to have you. He is currently in France, so we might have some wee Wi-Fi situations, but we're going to work through it and we're going to make it work. Excited to have you on. Thank you so much for being here. You're my third guest speaker or guest in the on the pod. So we're just going to get straight to it.
Go for it.
Go for it. Right. So loads of people won't know you who are listening to this. So can you paint a little picture? Like I said to you already, this is a bit unsure to unstoppable, your story between where you were and where you are now and what that looks like basically. So paint a little bit of a picture from what life looked like before all the transformation that you have achieved in the last however long.
Yeah, transformation. It's quite what is a transformation, really? I mean, to be honest, I feel like you never really come to a point where you're like, okay, I've made it. You're always in a period of transition from one phase to another. And I think for those that don't know me and my journey, I'm probably there again just now. I'm at that depot waiting for the next bus, you know? I feel like I've went full circle from I was just actually thinking to myself, come before coming on this podcast, how interesting how I was actually in the south of France just about a year ago. Again, I was invited into a similar podcast, and I suppose it's so interesting to see how much we forget how things can change in our lives so drastically, and what stays the same that is maybe what we're putting up with. So, for those that don't know me, I mean, I could tell you loads of things. I could tell you about, you know, being someone who lived in Scotland, who did the path of going to uni, studying languages in French and Italian, thought I was going to go down that path, ended up doing a year abroad in all those countries, and then left that, went down the corporate route of working my way up in the civil service, doing leadership roles and project management. You know, you could always talk about those things that people identify with, like your career or, and I suppose we all come to points where we think, okay, if I just get to that next level, and I think so many of us can relate when it comes to finances or a position, we kind of put our value and our worth quite heavily on that. When you ask someone who they are, then you'll make that link to my career. Or if you've not got that, okay, or if you're a parent, or if what you do socially, it's very much a very big thing with our identity. And I suppose I've been deconstructing myself time and time again. I think in the last 2 years, I've been involved in many businesses, thinking, okay, maybe I'll dabble in that. Doing things in property, doing a bit of deal trading, doing a bit of interior design, thinking I would love to do that. And then realizing quite quickly with these things that no, it's not what I want to do. But there's no regret in there because I've learned some skills, I've met a lot of networks and people, yourself as well. And I think one thing that so many of us are scared of doing is making the wrong move, where you can't really get it wrong. And I fall into the trap of comparison quite a lot, and seeing people that are maybe I think thinking, okay, based on my age or different things, that they're further ahead than me, or and I think we just need to realize that we're on our own journeys and different points in life, and there's never really a point where you'll know it all or have it all, because you really come into this world with nothing and you literally leave with nothing. So we spend all our time trying to acquire titles, money, and all that, where at the end of the day, you just need to spend more time in the present and appreciate what's going well, whilst having one eye on the future and what your next experience is, and just allowing yourself to flow a little bit more with life. Hence why I'm finding myself again in the south of France, reinventing myself, and helping others to kind of like literally understand what lights them up and how to align with it too.
Absolutely. So was there a specific moment that you felt you were kind of had a bit of a rock bottom or an awakening or something that kind of sparked
Many
a shift?
times, many
Yeah.
times.
Can you describe one? Like, is anything that's
So I
particularly
always go back to the same points with me that are kind of like key. And I think most people don't realize that you need to hit rock bottom a lot of times, because, and we always see that as a bad thing, but it's actually the point where your biggest revelations can come. So a lot of the discomfort and pain that we find ourselves in moments are actually a good thing, because it's almost like that seed in the ground that, you know, it's growing, it's expanding, it's bursting through the soil. So as you can imagine, there's a lot of friction, a lot of traction there. And it's the same with us. We're effectively evolving just like a seed, and there does need to be an element of stretch, and that really comes through in our emotions and our body. And for me, I remember, without going into too many key stories, I think one of them was after a long period of heartbreak and just and you know, not feeling good in my own skin about my worth, my value, which, to be honest, I think we never really overly get over, because especially when you're going to new levels, new heights, new experiences, you need to almost break down your identity and what your sense of worth is. And that can be even when you go for our next promotion, or when you want to level up in, I don't know, the level of surroundings or experiences that you have, you kind of need to break a threshold. And I remember, in terms of the work that I do just now, which is really about helping people align and manifest what they want, and really understand that from less of a spiritual woo-woo sense, and blending the manifestation and the neuroscience, because that lands. But my first encounter with this, by the way, was never into science, never studied physics or anything like that. I can probably say just now, I still am not really all that interested in the science element. It's more about, okay, how do I make that happen? You know, how do I attract that into my life? How do I become a match for it? And I remember it was never really something that I'd really inquired about or even thought about. I was always about just like most people in the rat race, the matrix, if you want to call it that, and the system of chasing the weekend, you know, the next experience, the next holiday, the next pay grade. And I remember going on a trip with my friends to Amsterdam, and something just happened to me there where I was in a moment where I had lost all my money, all my friends and things. It was a really, really tumultuous situation, really hard. But then it got even worse when I'd actually attracted someone into my life who I'd been thinking of in the days leading up to that, and it started to heighten my emotions and my senses by thinking of them on the way to the airport, smelling their aftershave, and then all of a sudden they were there after not seeing them after so many years. And there's certain things like coincidences that we think that is just too precise, just not to have some other deeper meaning. And that's when you start to go down that rabbit hole. And I say it's like a rabbit hole, but it's not really, because the answers are always there when you go posing the right questions, because questions do need to lead to answers, and one can't exist without the other. And I suppose that was a pinnacle moment for me, because it had stepped me on this journey of thinking, what, how did that come about? I made that happen. And I got answers that came in a different way from what I was anticipating. And another for me was really when I was actually in France a while ago and was on holiday and came back. And you know, when you sometimes break the trend of what you're used to, people, when they go on holiday or they put themselves in different environments, it really breaks the norm or the pattern, and then they're able to get different perspective. And I think that's what most of us need to start doing, even our day-to-day simple habits, because it gets your brain rewiring and thinking differently. And I think for me, when I came back from a 2 week break, I've just decided to go. I think we were maybe at the same event. We were an
Yes, I
RSA.
remember it. I remember
And
it
I
well.
remember flinging my stuff in the car and just driving up north. And initially, I just thought I wanted to see the N was it the NC500 or that route that I thought my family had done. And I thought, didn't even put it in the sat nav or anything, but I'll just drive. And I remember being at the foot of Fort William and thinking, oh, how did I get here? I didn't even plan on being here. And I remember at the beginning of the year thinking, well, I remember saying to myself that I wanted to do that. I'll go buy some boots, and climb Ben Nevis. And so I slept under the stars, go skinny dipping in Loch Ness that day. It was a Monday. I phoned my work to tell them that I wouldn't be back from holiday again that day because I've just been skinny dipping and I'm going to climb Ben Nevis. And I'm
Isn't
also
that?
handing, and I'm going to hand in my resignation as well. And I hadn't mapped out any of the how in terms of how I was paying for my bills, nothing. But it just felt so right, so intuitive, so aligned. And some people might think it's reckless, it's daring, it's adventurous, but it was kind of like my own wee movie. And I feel like ever since these last year or so, I've just been in my own little movie, writing, not even knowing the full steps, but just knowing what the end state of the next script is and being almost like guided by this inner knowing, this inner compass. And I think even remember going up to the top of Ben Nevis and just that stillness, that quiet allows you to actually hear the inner dialogue that we're always actually battling with, really, which we don't really make time to hear the other voice that is usually whispering. And it's kind of like when you see in cartoons that angel and devil, people talk about your ego versus your intuition. Your mind is always talking to you. It's just dependent on what are you allowing that narrative to be. And that led me on a whole journey of feeling like, okay, I had to go forgive my dad. I had to just go traveling. And you know what? Things just started to line up bit by bit in terms of getting my friend to move into my place. I came to France. And then before I knew it, I was away to on trips and expeditions over the last year that I just never thought, embarking upon new business ventures and meeting new people and just evolving my understanding. So it's sometimes hard for me to kind of bring this down to other people's day-to-day operating, especially if you're where I was in that state of working in what's known and familiar, and anything out with that just seems like a step way too far that is for other people. But I think when you just literally start to getting clearer on what you want and start to break the patterns bit by bit, the answers on the pathway really reveals itself.
Absolutely. I remember that day well. I really remember that day well when it was very much a moment for you, wasn't it? Like hitting like the conversation that you had on that day, and then it was like right off the back of that that you went on this kind of quest, if you like, wasn't it? And
Well,
it really has changed who
about
you are.
total, I think what you'll find most people see, even in business, you'll find that really a lot of successful people will come down to two things. Like a lot of them will follow their intuition and their gut, and they'll make decisions and they'll make them quickly and they'll change them slowly. And so your job is really to allow yourself to feel what in your gut feels right and not allow that older primitive part of you that really wants to stay in what's known and familiar, which will kick in right away with all the reasons why something can't happen or why you shouldn't be done, which are very logical, very rational. But what you really need to understand is that your logic and rationality don't come into this. Subconsciously, there's that compass will guide you that's really sees over and beyond your current awareness, because most people stand in their own way because they seem to think that they need to know the how. Whereas if you knew the how, you'd already have it. So there's a part of you that's really got at a level of awareness over and above your comprehension. And that's where you need to start evolving in a relationship with, I find. And when you start to, do things intuitively, it's like in business, they go against what advisors and the stats and other things would tell you because you've got a inner hunch. Yeah, sometimes it might not work out, sometimes it does, but sometimes even in the thick of something which appears catastrophic could be the best thing that happens, but you'll never really know that right away. It's always when you look backwards. So I just know that you the people to say about making decisions quite quickly, following your gut and realizing that you become what you think about and what you dwell
Absolutely.
upon. And that just comes down to conscious awareness.
I think this isn't one of my questions, but I knew this would happen. We'd just go off on a tangent. But that with regards to intuition, I think that society as a whole don't really listen to their intuition. They're quite listening to the outside noise instead of really tapping in. And see if you could like think back to times where, even now, like even myself, if I can think back to times where I knew something felt off and I ignored it. Do you know
Yeah,
what way?
totally.
Like even like, but don't get me wrong. Like I am so grateful for everything that I have experienced because had I not experienced those things, I wouldn't be where I am today because it wouldn't have sent me in these different trajectories. But as a whole, I would say society are so scared to make the wrong decision that they just don't. They're just so fearful that they just make the right one that somebody else says is right instead of like really tapping in and listening to your inner guide. If that makes
When
sense.
you think about it, really, that's by design.
Oh, absolutely.
It's totally by
100%.
design. You're told to go to school and you're given either a tick or a cross, or the right or a wrong. There's one answer to the question. You're not taught to, think about life and how to create things. You're taught to get an answer that is predetermined. You're exposed to media, to propaganda that dictates the trajectory. Most people, in terms of their life, and when they come here, are thinking this is the path. This is why so many people get involved with educations and feel like they need a piece of paper, which I've got, to almost like validate your worth in something. And again, I'm not writing against, education and things. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. All I'm saying is that there is. I know people that have went and done a path of studying, getting degrees and things, but potentially not ending up in the place where they want to be, doing a job and things that they want. Whereas I look at other people in other professions that maybe flunked out of school that are running companies, organizations, making, a lot more money if that's your aim. And really, when you think about it, is the aim to get that kind of like, I mean, you could Americanize it almost like that white picket fence or the dream holidays. It's kind of been sold to you that this is the path. And we're also told that this is the trajectory. And when you look at media and things and what you're told is newsworthy, isn't very positive a lot of the time. What you are exposed to is the storyline of look at the wars, look at the famine, look at the killings, the murderers, the economy. There's a picture that's painted there of scarcity and lack. And so when you're consuming that, it's not a case where it's just external noise. It's really colouring your vision. It's
It's
shaping how you
manipulation.
look at the world. It is. And it's by design. So when it comes to you thinking that there must be more out for me rather than my 9 to 5 or because most people will experience this at different points. They'll either be in jobs that they don't like, they'll have reached either a level of success or a version of them that when I did this. I mean, I remember when I was in the civil service, it was a position that, over a course of a couple of years, I got after going through that the natural pecking order, applications, rejection, things, thinking if I just get that, I'll be happy. And I remember getting it, and then it dwindles because I thought, okay. It's
With
kind
me.
of not as rosy as what I think, and maybe the next grade or the next income will make me feel a bit more fulfilled. It's like that new car syndrome, you feel like that will make me happy, I'll feel worthy then. But then what happens is a newer, more shinier version comes, and you think, well, that one didn't quite, last as long, maybe the next version. And we find ourselves in this loop, this hamster wheel of chasing validation, chasing security, chasing
The
worthiness
shoulds,
based upon what other people are determining that looks like, rather than creating from within and getting honest and saying, what really lights me up? What do I feel purposeful about? What do I want to experience in my life? What things are coming to me which I think are dangling carrots that are not really for the taking? And we need to spend a bit more time actually appreciating and looking back to see where we've come, the things and the belief systems that we broke down, and also get over this almost trap of thinking that because you think it takes, and I've seen other people that have took a length of time to do something, doesn't mean it takes the same amount of time. Because everything that we have now, once was not a possibility. It's always existed as a potential, but it's only took someone to think over and beyond what currently existed to manifest it.
Yes, absolutely. Right, I'll go back to my actual questions, right? So we're going to break things down. So obviously, like I said at the top, you have Changed your physique, you've changed your mindset, and you've changed your career. So we're going to go through all the different stages of that and get some insight and some knowledge and some wisdom and some maybe some tips. So we're going to start really our body. And I know this isn't a big deal for you anymore, nor is it for me, but probably in the when we first met, it absolutely was. Like that was why we joined that program, wasn't it? It was like a physique thing. So when you began transforming your body, and we now know that the ripple effect of that is much more than that, what did you discover about yourself that went beyond the physical?
When you say it's not probably a big thing, I think it's always a big thing. I think people like to feel
Yeah,
good in
absolutely.
their physical vessel that we navigate through life in effectively. And I think for me, as what most people will find, it's not really the getting that's the hardest part, it's then the maintaining. And I
Yes.
found myself then go back full circle again because I then maybe you get a certain result, but then I hadn't really embraced certain ways of thinking, okay, this is what I need to maintain to keep that.
Yeah.
Because as I said, similar to you, I mean, I went through a body transformation, a photo shoot last year, and I quite enjoyed the process. You know, I was quite disciplined and, you know, had the guidance. And similar to what most people do with anything, you don't really need to know a lot of the knowledge behind how something comes about, because sometimes it's a bit interesting, sometimes it's a bit too much. Just, you know, I didn't really need to know about the makeup of macros and what why I
Yeah.
was eating more here and less there and all this. I just needed to know quite simply, this is what you need to do, and over a period of time, and that was quite interesting. I remember obviously our coach, I know you've interviewed him as well, Christian, he would always say that it's really about you're only ever as good as your most recent habits and
Yeah.
routines. And it's true for that. I think you need to be, and it's in with anything, you need to give it your attention. You need to have a desire there and a focus, because if not, it's not really going to be something that's going to be like, this is what I'm aiming for. So you're never really going to align with
Yeah.
that. So that was kind of true as a point when I went, not even just got it, but beyond it, realizing, okay.
Certain
But
behaviors you need to keep in order for that to remain.
totally,
Yeah.
totally. And I suppose also what something that I realize is that, again, similar to that whole dangling carrot syndrome, is I'll be happy when, and then
Yes.
thought, okay, I've done it. And then afterwards, I'm like, many people experience this when they've not got, like, if they're doing an event in sports and that, they've not got anything else to look forward to. It's that cliff edge. And I suppose for me, probably going back to my Amsterdam story, I was doing it for partly validation to feel that I was worthy, or I was a, you know, attractive enough, or, and then when you kind of get people reach out and they acknowledge you, and you think, but the result and the overall, you know, what I want over and above that is not really manifested or changed. So I've done a lot of change on the outside, but internally I've not really made much of a shift.
That takes us straight on perfectly to the next question. So, how did change in your body? Because you did, like, both of us had a massive physique transformation, but also equally, I would say the same. Like, it's not about the getting it; it's like that literally the maintaining it. And what for? Like, what for? Do you mean as much as, like I said, it's not. I said it's not a big deal. Obviously, as everybody likes to feel good in their body, but I would say the mental is so much more overpowering than the actual physical, and in a good way, obviously. So, how did changing your body begin to shift your identity? Like how you saw yourself and what the world saw? Like, were they aligned? Were they not aligned? Like, how did changing yourself physically change your identity?
I suppose for me, it broke down a belief system, you know, in terms of something I was able to achieve that I didn't think was possible. And that was really nice. And obviously, a lot of people would, I think for me, when I was, they would always see me as a bit slimmer and always thought I had a good frame, but I just knew in the bits that I wasn't happy with. I was nice to be able to match internal that feeling of thinking, yeah, you know, and be appreciated and people notice. And not like I was doing it for necessarily everyone else. There was obviously some people that you'd want, if you're wanting to attract a partner and you want to feel good in your skin, and all these things you feel like, yeah, that's nice. In terms of beyond that, I remember I mean, I was able to impress myself in different ways because I remember even going to my calisthenic, workout session one day, and I'd never done anything like calisthenics, and I was able to do these things that people were training weeks and months to do, and there was me in my very first session doing, three muscle ups. I'm like, oh, is this that? Don't get me wrong, I was probably my body weight and everything probably at that point allowed it to happen. I don't think I could do it quite as easily just now, and just the level of training. So, I think what I've realised is that it's quite good to have that as something you maintain for you, and just having some sort of foundation, which is something probably over the last year or so that I've maybe struggled with, because I never set anything over and beyond that, in terms of, I was not interested in going for events and other things, and although when I do get involved in something like this competitive element of it does come out. As I've seen, and you've seen probably at different points as well.
We still need
But
to do that high rocks together.
oh yeah, mark that one. But I suppose if you kind of just look at it, there's it's not all just the physical, as you said, just the mental, and being able to the exercise and these things or challenges allow you to work on some mental muscles as well, such as your will, your determination, your perseverance. So it does serve you in that guise, and I suppose realizing how important nutrition is, more so than the exercise itself, that has a massive impact, and
Definitely.
that's not just a one faceted kind of like approach. We've all got a very complex relationship with food for different reasons, and I suppose those habits are hard to break in just one transformation. You probably need to get something, lose it again to then rebuild it, and I think the comeback is actually probably harder. And then obviously you kind of maybe need to tweak a little bit based upon the first time around to think, okay, what do I do differently now?
Yeah, and I think that's what people forget about is like that it's not just that one thing, it's a whole magnitude of all these different things that then come together and make like the kind of the jigsaw pieces come together and make the whole picture sort of a thing. I definitely a big change for me was the relationship with food, but like yeah, you had to fall off the wagon, which I hate that phrase, but you have to lose it to appreciate it and then actually like find a new way. And sometimes also there's an unhealthy way of trying to get something that then your identity doesn't align with that. And then it's like, well, actually you need to shift your identity in order to sustain it or in order to move through in another kind of way. I would say my relationship with food has shifted on so many occasions. Like so many occasions. Like it's crazy. It's just like it's like in constant evolution, isn't it? Okay, so we're moving on to the mindset stuff. So you've spoken about like opening your mind and we spoke about limiting beliefs, you spoke about neuroscience, which I'm going to come into in a wee minute. But what old stories or patterns or limiting beliefs did you have to break free from in order to become who you now are? What can you kind of name any?
I think we all do that without even realizing, like, even when you think about, if I even think about in the career sense, a version of me maybe 5, 10 years prior that was doing a job or a position that was half the pay, you kind of need to break down your belief system to think that you're worthy of that. Because anyone that watches this that's in a career, I mean, if they were to lose that income or what it is they're earning just now and then go out to apply for another job tomorrow, then they're probably going to be looking in the same bracket. They're not going to look for a job or a profession perhaps that earns half the amount of money they were earning just now, because they've become accustomed to a certain lifestyle, they've got bills, etc. Equally, they're not all of a sudden going to start applying for jobs that are double the salary. Why is that? Well, it's a belief system. It comes down to your worth, and it comes down to what you've done, and usually our mind kind of takes that incremental gradual step, that's why we kind of work up the ladder and things and think that's the normal trajectory, whereas very few of us really think about quantum leaping a lot of time, and it comes down to fear of failure, rejection. And I think for me, I remember even getting involved in property and thinking that a few years ago, I remember even my high school bully was the only person on the network that I knew. And I'm like, Why my high school bully? You know, I was scared to put myself out there, even, you know, on video or on camera and things. And again, that was a belief that I had to get over initially, or thinking that I was able to make any money in that field. And then I made money quite easily, and I thought, oh, I could keep on doing that. But then I found myself thinking, well, I don't really enjoy this, so why am I investing time and energy in something like that? And I think sometimes so many of us get caught up in continuing or pursuing something because of how much time and energy has been invested, that becomes the reason for sticking at it longer. Whereas I've, as I said, feel like I'm constantly breaking myself down and reinventing myself. And part of me feels like, God, people are going to think, oh, who is he today? What's he doing today? It's not like I'm doing it every day, but you know, over the course of the last few years, I mean, I've been dabbling in different things. You know, in property, doing deal trading, having that head, going into a room and have people gravitate towards me and having a presence because I got over that belief of putting myself out there. You know, putting posts up in private communities on social media, people become familiar with who you are. You build up almost like an identity to them and an authority. People, you become known for that. Then you break that down because you say, oh, no, that's not quite me. You know, and I've done that time and time again. And then when you go into a new space, people, and again, this might be a perception of me, you know, you're going to have to get over yourself a little bit to think, well, people are going to be judging me or thinking, oh, what's that now? And just say, it doesn't really matter. It's kind of like that swim analogy of going into the gym and thinking that everyone's watching you, thinking about you, but too busy concentrating on themselves, thinking everybody's judging them. So it's kind of one where I believe that, for example, even just now, I've come to the point where I don't really feel as much where I try to justify or explain or bring a lot of other people on the same journey. So, when I say that in the sense that I've just in the last couple of weeks, and it was literally in the last couple of weeks, went back to the south side of Glasgow after being traveling and being there the last couple of months, like I've outgrown this phase in my life, even though there's a version of me once upon a time, never thought I would have my own place and things, got all that design. Blah, blah, blah. It went on, and I came back full circle, and I thought, I've kind of like outgrown this. And so my family were coming here on holiday, and I thought, I'll just book that one-way ticket again. And they're like, so how long are you staying here? What are you doing? You've let your place out, because I literally bought things up, you know, put them away and have let my place out officially. And I'm like, what happened? I'm like, I don't, I mean, the idea, and I'm just pursuing what intuitively seems right, although it seems logically quite crazy and absurd. So it's kind of like, and my family, I think you must have a plan. You must know what you're doing. I'm like, I'm telling, they don't think I'm telling the truth, even though I'm being quite transparent, because I'm like, what you need to understand is that no one will ever be able to see what you see. When it comes to companies and organizations, they all have vision statements. They have a vision. So you have a vision for what it is that you want to achieve in your life, or that what that next experience looks like. You don't really need to bring other people on board to see that unless you're wanting, they're behind it as well and they're working towards that common goal. Yes, it's nice to make people understand, but really enough, when it comes to your mindset, what you really just need to understand is that you just need to cultivate the feeling or becoming a match for that which you want without getting hung up too much so on the how and the when, because I think that's when we get in our
We're crackling, but we're doing so well. We're doing so well. Give it a wee second. Keep manifesting that our net's going to be cool from now on.
We're there.
There we go, we're back.
I think when it comes to just that question about mindset, is you need to understand what are you currently operating with? What's the set point right now? And the only way you'll realize what that is when you actually take a step back to say, okay, what is the narrative that's running through my mind? What are the unconscious beliefs that I have, you know, which people refer to as paradigms, that's your internal blueprint. That's yours. What have you acquired? What are your belief systems around what's possible for you this year, in your career, in your relationship, in your level of fitness? What is that narrative right now? What are you expecting to happen when you walk into a room with those people? What are you anticipating? Because it's only when you gain an understanding that those thoughts are not harmless, that's the making of everything. And it's only when you know what that is that you can then start to change that to align with what you truly want. Because similar to what we said before, you can make a lot of changes externally. You can change how you look, you can change your hairstyle, you can change maybe a body transformation, but unless you really reshape the internal blueprint, it will always revert back to that set point. Just like your body transformation will revert back because that is the internal thermostat and the outer will always reflect the inner.
And like going back to you talking about family and stuff like that, like you, a lot of these stories have stemmed from those family members and what you've been conditioned to believe and think, and their values are often instilled in you. So when you break that norm and they're a bit like, what are you doing? Like, how, no, hold on, get back here, kind of thing. And that's why sometimes, like, they are not the best support. Like, they say that, like, actually, the best support are often strangers, because your kind of tribe will pull to you when you start to actually align with what who you are and what you want and what you actually, if you were to pull back all those stories and peel back the layers and break down and
Again,
really
that's
get to
not
the
really their
truth.
fault either because they're conditioned based upon what they believe.
Absolutely.
And I think
Absolutely.
you can even just take the example of something as simple as, okay, one household loves tomato ketchup or another one likes brown sauce with a meal. And probably they like that because their parents like that. And so it's like something as simple as preferences is what you eat can be distilled from what has gone on in that line. And yeah, everything, this is why I'm saying, even when it touched on earlier, that the media and what you consume now will have a big impact. This is why people usually talk about when it's in business or things, is get around new people, get around people that are further down the path that you want because or that you want to be on because they've walked it, they think very differently. Their habits, their beliefs are very different. And really what you need to when it comes to that, personality and identity, yes. And when you start to want bigger, more things, then you start to think differently. You'll start to think about that. And when you start to do things differently, then exactly as you said, your identity, your image changes. And that's not only something that you need to kind of evolve and understand with, but you also need to understand that that is going to really make those around you feel like they don't recognize you anymore.
They've lost who
And
they think you are.
totally. And then this is the difference between incremental growth and, really substantial quantum leaps is that when you start to go on the basis of making big and revolutionary changes, other people are not going to be changing at the same rate as you. And what happens, the change in you will threaten their identity because it will threaten what's known and familiar to them and how to operate. And I've and it's part of that whole analogy of like life being a bit of a bus ride, where you're literally come into it by yourself, and people will get on that bus ride for one stop, two stop. Some people will take you right through to, the nth degree, but some people will get off and get on at another stop. But no one is really going to be into it for till the very, very end. No one. Not your parents, not your partner, not your friends, no one. So when you really understand that, you will appreciate that some people are all in your life for reasons, seasons, and things. And I've had people in my life, friendships that I've at points for about a year or two, they've been disconnected with and then went full back circle. And I'm sure many people keep being in that situation again, but then they fell away again. And it's probably because we've not been in sync, we've not been evolving, or our interests are different, our goals. But it doesn't mean there's any malice in that. It doesn't mean that you're not authentic, because part of who you will be is you will be different people or different to everyone. Like to some people, I'm really interesting or really, they love to spend time with me. Other people, I'm like their worst enemy, probably. And I'm still the same person, but there's different flavors and cat, people have different experiences,
Based
different
on their perspective.
totally. And their dealings with me and who I've been at that moment in time, or and it also just reveals more to you about you as to how you see people. More so. So when you actually start seeing others as a mirror for you and just saying, oh, that's interesting. Why, what do I think of them? Is this playing out just like that narrative I expect it to? Because you can't expect the mirror to change or the reflection to change unless you do. So if you go into a situation, probably having replayed scenes and conversations to, you kind of see this in society quite a lot. People are out and they're walking about and they're having mental conversations with others, and most of them aren't so pleasant. And you need to understand that they can't expect physically to walk into an environment and that to be a polar opposite. other from what they've been dwelling in, because their mindset, their what they've been really cultivating is going to express itself in what they experience.
100%. So you obviously, we spoke about you've been interested in having a massive interest in neuroscience and manifestation. So how did that begin to intertwine into your journey? Because this is quite a newer experience for you, isn't it? The neuroscience and the manifestation.
Yeah, I suppose when most people think about manifestation, what do they think about? They think about magic spells and
Wish it and it'll come true.
I don't really know. Yeah, true, true. They think about daydream, thinking about things and it can come true and land on your lap. And I think when you think about everything that once was, always starts from the invisible. Everything. From the idea of you thinking that I want a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, it starts as an idea, something that's not seen. And you literally think about it, become emotionally involved with it, and then you take action that allows you to go and fill the water up in the kettle and add the tea bag or the coffee. And then, hey presto, you've manifested a cup of coffee. But that is the way it works in one sense, where you sometimes take aligned action. Other times, where you just need to think of it like, everything already exists as a potential for you to experience. It's already here. It's just your awareness of it that is what needs to align. So this is where I kind of talk about things from an alignment point of view. And this is where the neuroscience comes in, because it's really physics at the end of the day. I mean, this is like to paraphrase, like Einstein, it's saying that you just need to match the frequency of the vibration of what you want, and you cannot help but land on it every single time. It's like in the same way that we're connected right now. You're in Scotland, I'm in France, but we can see each other, we can hear each other through an invisible frequency, through a connection. And we've almost become desensitized to this in a way, because we just take it for granted that we can pick up our phone and speak to someone and things. Whereas if you went back not so very long ago, like 100 plus years, so it's not really long in the grand scheme of things,
You would be like mental.
you would get locked up for that. And so probably what a lot of things that I talk about, I do try and bring in a bit of the scientific point of view, because it lands a little bit, it's more palatable probably to some people, palatable to me as well. But when you start to understand how your brain works, how things such as neuroplasticity, when you start to reshape and just your small habits and your patterns. But when it comes to the neuroscience, I mean, I find myself, I sometimes go down too deep and I lose people. And you've been at one of my events before and you think, Ross, you went a bit too far. Then I'm like, I know, I can't help myself. So.
But do you know what? It's passion though, isn't it? It's because you're passionate about it that you're like, tell everybody everything. Do you know
Is,
what I
but
mean?
you know
And
what? It's to the dis I need to be mindful, and to that doesn't lie. It's like me, giving you, teaching you the multiplication, but you've not even learned addition. There's no point. As much as you want to just give everyone everything and tell them all the things they need to know, I've had to go through a journey of unlocking an awareness bit by bit. So you kind of need to just understand that when I say everything exists already, it means that you just need to think of the fact that we're able to communicate, via laptops and see each other, that it's always existed as a potential. It's always existed as a possibility, but it's just took someone to think about it, to bring it into existence. But it's always the ability to do it's always been there. Just like the ability to, fly planes and, take us from one country to another has always been there, but we've not always done it. Why? It's because we've had to become aware of it. It's in the same way in which most of us have things that we desire that are in the unseen. They're not currently here, like Elon Musk and all the things that he's trying to do, in space and things, but it exists. Just because it's not been done before, the fact that he can actually see it in his mind, in his imagination, this is what most people, the most successful people, will always tell you. If you can see it in your mind, then
I can.
it's already done. Because your mind is just simply your imagination, is a preview of what's to come. It's like anything that you want in your life just now that you probably take for granted. There's a once upon a time, a version of you that doesn't see it as possible. There is things and places that you've been in your life, there are possessions that you've got, people that you've met that you probably at one point or another thought that is a bit far out there, or it's not meant for me, and yet it's happened. And you can take that from simple things. And when you realize that there are layers to this level of understanding and how you manifest. But the simplest thing that I could say to anyone that's coming to it is new to new is you just need to know what you truly want, not what you think you should want or what seems palatable to your logical mind. You really need to go for something that's really quite, I can't see how that's possible. Because if you can see how it's possible, then it's not really enough to make you want to. It's like someone wants to get a 5% pay increase. It's not really going to make that much difference in the grand scheme of things. I know I keep on using income as an example, but it's probably something that many people can relate to and ref as a reference point. But you kind of need to go beyond what you think is possible, and you don't need to know how. You don't need to get hung up on all the steps. I think I was speaking to someone, actually, I've been speaking to many clients lately, and they kind of don't understand, they get too hung up on that how element, how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen. And that is the very thing itself that really stifles the manifestation, because if you need to become a match for it. This is what science would tell you. You need to think about, if there's a song already playing that you want to hear, your job is really just to match the frequency. So for us, when I talk about frequency, so in other words, vibration that people use, I mean, we've talked about that as well, it's like your feelings. You need to become that version of you that's consciously aware of how it feels to have that you already want, that you want. So what does it feel like? So don't ask yourself, just what do I want and when's it going to come here? How's it going to get come here? Those are the wrong questions. You need to ask yourself, what is, as a human being, what is my predominant state of being? What do I dwell in emotionally? Do I dwell in thinking, do I put out the thinking that I want more money, but secretly I have this sense of lack and replay an inner narrative of it's I'm not worthy of money, or it's hard to come by, because that doesn't match. That is completely disconnected. You need to start thinking, okay, if I had that, what I wanted, even just use it in your imagination for start, where would I be? What would I, if I was looking through my eyes, what would I see? Would I be outdoors? Would I be indoors? What would I be feeling? Start to engage your senses a little bit there, and then think, okay, what's those emotions that I would be feeling? Is it gratitude? Is it joy? Is it peace? Is it security? And kind of let go of the image. And then just start to cultivate that feeling. And then your job really is to spend more time in that state and rise above your outer circumstances, because your kind of outer circumstances and what you experience today is old news. This is kind of like the result or the fruit of the seeds that have previously been harvested, So that's really where neuroscience really interests a lot of people. It's because you can actually start to talk about things from a physics point of view, talk about biology, and then when they start to get, it's only, but I think conceptually is one thing, but it's only when you start to experience it in real time that then you start to say, oh, there's a lot bit more to it than this, and that you start
Absolutely.
peeling back the layers and going down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's so powerful, that feeling, isn't it? Like, the feeling is everything. The feel, like, everything is feeling. So when you can cultivate what that feels like, then that allows you to then, I don't want to use the word chase, but effectively, like, chase that feeling in order to get that thing of which you want. Like, it's all about cultivating that how does that feel? Like, what do you see? What do you hear? What do you, all that sort of stuff, isn't it? And that's where visualization would come in, where you can actually visualize, like, with clarity what that is and how it feels and all that sort of stuff, and then it allows you to step into it, doesn't it?
Totally. I think it's a funny thing when I hear about people talking about visualization, vision boards, affirmations. That's what people think manifestation is a lot. Whereas there's a book by Neville Goddard and others saying that feeling is the secret, which is a powerful one. And really, what we're saying here is,
Write
think
it
about
down
it.
then.
Why are you chasing? Why do you want a partner? Why do you want that job? Why do you want to be in that home? It's because you're chasing a feeling. You're chasing a feeling of either feeling loved, you're feeling wanted, desired, you're feeling you what you're chasing a feeling of feeling security, feeling successful. So what most people think, and this is the biggest paradox that most people start to understand and the work that I do is that you don't need to get the thing, then feel the get the emotion, get the feeling as we've been trained to feel. Like, get that new car, you'll feel successful. Get that partner, you will feel loved. You will feel, like you're worthy. It's actually the opposite. And this is probably one of the biggest paradoxes in life is that when you get used to cultivating the feeling, you will get the thing. And you just need to think of it. You can think of it as the analogy of even simple of you want to go on holiday, but you didn't have the funds or the time. You couldn't get the time off work. Now, really, at the point of wanting the holiday, you don't need the money because you've effectively not even made the decision that you even want to go on holiday, or you don't even need the time off because you've effectively not made the decision. When you start to want something and it's a desire, what do you start to do? And it starts as a thought. Then this is where maybe your visualization, your emotional come into it. It's because you might start looking at a few sites. You might start to, oh, think, oh, we could go there. That looks like a good excursion. Oh, we could stay in that hotel. You start to engage the feelings, and it might trigger off memories of previous similar experiences, and you become emotionally involved. This is when it starts to work its way from a logical, conscious desire to a subconscious, emotional desire. And it's from that place that everything's born, because that not only allows you to see the people, the opportunities and ideas that were already there to make it happen, that will become apparent within your conscious awareness. But you'll also find yourself taking what I refer to as aligned action. You don't just think about it, you don't just emotionally get involved in it, but you start to take steps that are just from a place of flow. You're not trying to force an outcome. You're not striving towards it because, again, that implies separation. You start to become emotionally involved, and hey presto, before you know it, you've already booked that holiday, or you've booked part of it. You're already there. You're enjoying it, and you kind of look back, and all it took was for you to dwell on the end state. What most people get hung up on is that they think if they get hung up on the path and the journey, that's not really your job. It's not about fooling yourself. It's not about pretending. It's about emotionally training your nervous system to feel the emotion of already having that which you want. And this is where it seems quite miraculous, because it is miraculous to the logical, rational mind, how things appear. I think about, I mean, I'm looking out at the mountains just now, all the green forest here, and I've actually got two chests of drawers that were being given away by neighbors the other day. My family were wanting new chests of drawers. I mean, this is how simple it sounds. The other day, and they'd just done away with some furniture, and then I was walking and I seen that neighbors were giving these away, and within the space of a day or two now, we've got chests of drawers that I'm renovating. And when you realize that it happens for the small things and the big things, you just need to start elevating your emotions to a state where you're more grateful for things in your life, where you're actually helping yourself release old patterns, old energy, and things that are blocking you. And then just actually starting to almost like in the way that you drop a pebble in the water, think of it like the ripples that give you, like an emotional, what scientists would refer to as an electromagnetic field. It's almost like I want to think of it, you're always like emitting your own invisible Wi-Fi. Now, if you've wanting more money and more wealth and things, but you're allowing the emotion, which is really the frequency, to be that of lack, separation, not having, then that's a signal that you're emitting. And that's all you can attract more of back into. You can't really match that a different frequency. So you need to start, as you said, people use visualization as a starting point to really anchor themselves in the end state. But that only kind of like sends out the signal. Unless you start to emotionally train your nervous system, your body, to how it feels like, that's what acts like the magnet to you.
Oh, it frozen again. We're doing so well. We're doing so well. Come on, Mia, Wi-Fi. Hopefully we'll be back.
And there's certain points of the day.
There we go. Oh. Proper frozen this time. Come on, Wi-Fi. Yay!
Lost
Well,
you. I've got you.
they're doing all right,
It's funny because it was glorious sunshine here, and now I'm just hearing all this thunderstorm going on about me, so it's a bit.
that's because we're talking about
But
energy and frequency.
we've opened up the
Right,
heavens.
sorry, carry on.
That's just when I'm talking about the neuroscience. It's physics. It's literally become
Yeah.
a vibrational, aka emotional match.
Yeah.
So when you start to cultivate that emotion, that's really your hidden power, is to master your state. So if you're exposing yourself to environments, to situations, and you're constantly reacting to life, then it's going to really lower your state. If you're exposing yourself to conversations where people are talking about things that they don't want, more than what they're talking about what they do want and how it feels and how that's going to happen, then they're always going to create separation because
Yeah.
they'll never get that which they are not consciously aware of already having.
Yeah, it's that whole like you get back what you put out, isn't it? Like that kind of, if you're putting out the negativity, then that is what I say to kids when I'm coaching kids. Like, have you ever felt you walk into a room and you feel a bit like that's the energy, that's that energy, do you know what I mean? So, and it's probably the easiest way to explain any form of energy to teenagers or whatever, is like, have you ever felt that way when you felt walked in a room, or like, or vice versa, if something, who can you think of that gives you like that you feel like, yeah, like buzz energy from? It's the
Well, you
same
know that
thing.
whole saying is you'll probably forget what they said, but you'll never forget how they made you feel. It's
Absolutely.
because the feeling, you're not just a human being, you're a vibrational being. The vibration, the emotion is everything. And you can see it in someone's body language. When you walk into a room, you can actually tell a mood hoover from a mood radiator just by actually being around them. Why? Because the energy needs to go somewhere. Because when I talk about this, we're talking about the physical being, that's just a vessel. That's just a kind of like, it's the energy comes through your body. This is why you tend to take certain actions that are in alignment. So if you just literally spend more time dwelling and feeling the emotions of already having what you want, you will naturally take action. The difference where I think a lot of people go towards a result is that they seem to think that they need to strive towards it, that it needs to be hard because we're taught that, and I hear this all the time. I see people in business and in cultures thinking that no pain, no gain, or that you need to strive and things like that. And I'm all about thinking, yes, there does need to be uncomfortable. There's an element of growth. You need to be uncomfortable, just like in that gestation period, that seed that's bursting through the soil. But at the same token, there's a lot of people that are applying that equation but not getting the result that they want because they're doing it with the from the point of view of working towards something. And this is a very different script where you need to flip it around and you work from it. And you'll find that professional athletes will do this as well. They'll have their quote there, if it's a marathon you want to win, you will not find a coach training you mentally to see and feel the emotions of running the race. They will have you in the end state. They will have you feeling what it feels like to hold the medal, the sweat, your pulse, seeing what the time is behind you, totally, and cultivate the emotion. And the beauty with this, and what I think about manifestation and neuroscience, is that life will deliver after a period of gestation, not overnight, the same way like it will deliver to you that which you're a match for. So if you cultivate a scene and the emotions, it will deliver events, circumstances that are a vibrational match for that. And the power when that happens is always now. You're always manifesting, you're always creating because you're always assuming a state of being. You're either in this moment feeling quite anxious, you're either thinking and worrying about something, you're either feeling quite content, you're feeling quite relaxed. This is where you need to tune in to say, what is my most predominant state? And how can I become better at mastering that moment by moment, day by day, so that I become the magnet for what I want?
Yeah, absolutely. Love that. Absolutely love that. So if you could take, obviously, like, so for some people that is like, what? Do you know what I mean? But for the most part, that was pretty most human beings would be able to understand that from a like completely that sense of the word as base, because that can go way further, can't it, what you're talking about.
Well, and see, even in what I've said just now, I mean, the thing is, I think it's beautiful because there's many layers to even the most simplest of concepts.
Absolutely.
And the thing itself doesn't change in the words that I say, but because our evolving, our understanding of something, really changes through experience and application, then you take new meaning from it each time. This is why they
Absolutely.
say you shouldn't just read, 100 books once. You should read,
One
one
book
book 100
100 times.
times, because each
Yeah.
time you'll evolve, you'll come to it as a
There'll
new
be something
area.
else.
Totally. And there'll be so much within that that, your mind wanders within the space of a page that you won't really have grasped the full meaning of things there. So there's a lot of layers to the simplest of things. And you could say something to someone till you're blue in the face, but it can only reach them with where they're at,
But yeah,
within
and
their
when they're
awareness
ready, yeah.
and within their understanding. So you give someone, the blueprint to how to do something, but because, unless they've evolved to that version that can handle that understanding, then they won't hear the message.
Yeah,
They won't
100%.
hear what's
So,
right for them at the point where they're at.
absolutely. So, if you could share one practice that that you feel genuinely rewired your thinking and changed how you show up in life, if you could think of like just one practice that you do, whether that be daily, whether that be whatever, can you think of something that you think that
There's
is
such a
the
fundamental that you'll hear absolutely everyone, in this space talk about, is that of being more thankful,
Yeah.
more appreciative, more grateful for what's in their life, and not just to do it as a fleeting thought. You can do that. I mean, I've come to the point, I've found it more so in periods where I even do it kind of every couple of hours. I have a bit of notes on my phone, and I'll write down wee things just out of moment, because I'll feel that was a because you'll only ever get today once. Today won't ever happen ever again. So what makes today different from any other day in your life? What are those small moments, those small things that you're really that are taking shape and passing you by without your awareness, without your recollection or even acknowledgement of? So the reason why this is so important is because you're cultivating a different attitude. You're
Yes.
cultivating a frequency, a vibration in itself. And the thing is with life is it will always respond to that frequency. So if you cultivate an attitude of gratitude, life can only give you more of that. It will give you more things to be grateful for. So the key things times to do this, I would say, are really first thing in the morning and last thing at night. I always in the morning would think about a few things that I'm grateful for, and it's not just about thinking about and writing them down like a to-do list. It's literally dwelling and cultivating the feeling of I'm genuinely grateful. That's where most people miss, and they sometimes it can come into a bit of a to-do list.
Becomes a word, yeah,
And at
instead of
night,
a
I would also say to people is to think about what happened in that day. If you're not going to do it, hour by hour, which is a bit extreme for a lot of people, if you're coming to this new, is to think about, okay, what made today so special? And you would reflect back, and there'll be things that have happened that might even just been that you're out on a walk and you've seen a butterfly. It could have been something as simple as you got a, someone treated you to a free coffee. It could have been something as simple as, I don't know, you got a free parking space. Just start appreciating the smaller things, and there will be big things there too. But really, our attention really flows, because sometimes I think we've talked about this. I mean, you could get an unexpected bill through the post, or you could also have got, like, you could have found, I don't know, a pound in a jacket pocket. You could have got an email with a discount code. You could have got, I don't know, a free coupon for something as well. But
Yeah.
those three things will not be in your awareness, or it won't stack up against that bill, if that's what you're in the habit of putting your awareness to. So what we're trying to do here is consciously cultivate and train your brain to seek out the good.
Yeah.
Because one can't exist without the other. Good and bad exist on the same plane. It's just really saying to yourself, where are you consciously looking most of the time, and how do we train yourself to look for the more prosperous and more abundance in your life, so that you can start seeking out and attracting more of that? So gratitude is fundamental, not just for the things that are here, but you can actually start giving thanks in advance for the things that are already coming but are not yet visible. which is probably almost key.
100%. I would completely and utterly agree with it, and it's so simplistic. Like everybody can do it. It doesn't cost any money. Like, but it just takes like bringing that awareness, doesn't it? Opening up that plane of like thinking. There's a Steve Harvey, I think his name is, and he does like a he's got a speech all about like you can wake up in the morning and you can kind of he kind of talks about as if you've got two, oh, what does he call them? Like two. Well, let's say leaders, but it's a better word than that. Two wee leaders in your brain, and one's going to lead you with, oh my God, it's Monday morning, blah, 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 and one's going to lead you with, oh my God, it's Monday morning. Like I can wake up today. I have legs that can make me walk. I can, like, if you've got a car or if you get the train to work, I've got a job. I've got a roof over my head. Like, and whatever you wake up in the morning and decide, that is how your day is going to pan out because you're making the decision from like the minute you open your eyes. And if you can like consciously bring that to your awareness, then you're creating your day from the minute you open your eyes.
I would take it a step further to even say that, your day is almost predetermined as well based upon the night before and the
Yes.
state that you go into, almost like a
Sleep.
subconscious sleep-like state, because that's really when you're having 7 to 8 hours in a predominant state based upon the feelings and
Yesterday.
emotions that you went to sleep with. So that's why it's probably important to think about, okay, I expect miracles tomorrow, or miracles are finding me today. It could be something as simple as saying that today, not to say that today is going to be a great day, but this today is a great day, or miracles are finding me right now, or just having this sense of playfulness, I suppose, with life, and trying to make it a little bit less like a groundhog rat race type way of existing.
I must, yeah.
But totally, in terms of setting that mental attitude, that intention the day before, and also in the day, is quite key for a lot of people. I think many successful people will say that that laser focus on the intention with the right energy and the right attitude behind it is really what drives them that forward, that laser focus. So it kind of doesn't give your mind any option to start looking for other ways of being.
Yeah, 100%. So obviously you said already about you were in the corporate world for a long period of time and you were kind of jumping up the ladder, so to speak. And then about this time last year, is that right? You kind of decided that like this is not the life for me. I know I want to do something else. I'm called to do something else. So walking away from that corporate into what you're doing now, which is coaching, is a massively bold move. So what was the emotional journey of that leap?
I suppose it's like anything. There's a law of rhythm, just like the seasons, of going. You can't have one without the other, and it's been a journey of growth, of probably more self-discovery to say, okay, how do I, what's authentic to me? What am I wanting to really impact? What's my reason for wanting to do things? And I suppose for me, it's more now about being that living example, as well of that which I teach and preach, and I've had to build up my own inventory of results, so to speak, to kind of help me evolve. And some of the things that have happened just blow people's mind, that it just doesn't seem logical. And it's not logical because it's not it, but it is by law. It's by universal laws. It's by because there is a science behind this. It's a science, and it is something that I've had to break down several times and then build myself up. But as I've said, earlier, it's in those moments where you are able to evolve a sense of understanding, a sense of belief and faith, because that's all in the unseen. It's kind of like that whole analogy that faith and fear both exist in the future, both are unseen, but have very different outcomes. And you can't cultivate a sense of faith and belief when everything's going rosy and well, because that doesn't give you anything. It's only when your back is up against the wall and everything seems to be going against you that you can lean into a higher state of, no, I believe this is going to work out actually better, and that this is happening for my highest good. And that is quite a scary place. It's unknown. And so this journey of evolving, of understanding who you are, and what I do with people goes well beyond just helping them get things. I mean, I can help people. I mean, some of the clients I worked with in terms of, helping them with their finances or get dream holidays or properties or relationships. I mean, I love it how I can help people do that without them understanding all the things that I know, because they don't need to know all these things. If they've got an interest and they want to start evolving and understanding that, they can. But I just kind of lay out the blueprint and say, okay, this is what you do, and you will get that. We're kind of remove the how, and we're going to remove the when, and we're going to just start taking ourselves through this process of these are the things that we need to do to shift your energy, to rewire your thinking. And it's things that I've learned through my journey of traveling. I found myself in Dubai last year, and not even sure how I've got there. I mean, and then finding myself going to a conference to the Ritz for Mind Valley and learning things, and it started to join up dots from things that I learned previously about why forgiveness was so key when it comes to releasing, energy and blockages when it comes to, I don't know, having, really disputes with family members and fallouts, but then actually seeing that as a lesson to think, ah, but I've been expecting this, I've been assuming this whole time, so I really can't expect the reflection to smile back at me if I'm not smiling, within. And I think, I've just had to break down so many times, and this is a kind of like me at another point where I've kind of took myself here, intuitively being led to think, okay, what's the next step, and realize, but it's almost like when you put the de destination in the sat nav, you don't really need to know the full trajectory. There'll be roadblocks, there'll be deviations, and your job, you just need to know the next step and build up that sense of belief. And when you actually start doing it for small things, and you build up your own, inventory of, experiences where you can validate that and fall upon, then you start to build and just having more belief in the unseen and realizing that's far more powerful than what your senses reveal.
And of the all the conversations I've had so far, the underlying of all of it is like belief, is belief and trust within yourself. Like
Yeah.
having that like, I know I can do this, or I believe I can do this, is no matter who I've spoke to so far, that's the crux. But that doesn't come first. What comes first is that whole having the courage to step, having the courage and the like, and the knowing and the trust is built over a period of time. Understanding
Well,
that's key.
and I would probably approach it slightly differently now, because yeah, it's something we'd all like to bottle up and sell. We'd be millionaire, multi-millionaires if
Absolutely.
we, here's a bit of belief in yourself for that, and you've got it. Because some people just say you just need to take action. You'll build up the reps and you'll get there. And I'm like, well, yeah, but no, because I can look at many people in different guises and sell the exact same products and the same people, but. And this is like studies that they've done across the board, but in America and elsewhere, where there's really only a very small percent, 1 to 3% that are really making the waves or getting the results. And it does come down to belief. So what is the trick? How do you cultivate belief? Well, I would say it comes from actually bypassing the steps, from bypassing the how, and actually just saying, do you actually know what it is that you want? Okay, what is it that you're seeking, and why do you want that? Get clear on that first and foremost, and then start to understand, okay, what is the current belief system? Do you believe it's possible? Probably not, otherwise you'd have it. Why do you think it's not possible for you? Start to question that. And I wouldn't go into this lens of trying to unravel it so much more. That awareness will come, but if you really want to expedite the gap, it's more between you and the actualization of that which you want. It's more about dwelling upon it internally. And as I said, it really does come from that, because if you cultivate the feeling of already having it, then you're no longer looking for it. You wouldn't go looking for something that you've already got. So if you live something that much in your imagination, and this is why I say it does need to be something that's a burning desire, because you're not going to spend time, in your imagination or your mind day by day, dwelling upon something that you're not really that fussed by. So this is why it does need to be something that's really
Stretch.
supersedes your current capacity to achieve or even see how it's possible. So when you actually have that and you can really start to really just let those weeds start to grow and grow underneath the soil, so to speak, so it's unseen. It all happens within. When you've actually started to allow that to germinate, those emotions, those feelings, then it's almost like that's part of building the belief, because you're not pretending, you are mentally rehearsing, you are mentally training your nervous system to feel comfortable with that outcome. And this is where I'm saying then you start taking action naturally. It's not by someone standing over saying you just need to do this and that's it, because ultimately you could do it and you could get the result. But what really happens a lot of the time is the results are temporary. And you revert back because you have not cultivated the belief. You've not strengthened that vision. You've not trained yourself biologically to feel like this is what you deserve. So, unfortunately, this is why I see so many people get results, but they don't have them or they don't last. It's in the same way where a lot of people can get what they want, but unless, like a lottery win, for example, but then they can flutter it all because their nervous system hasn't, and it sounds daft, but it
Not
hasn't been
ready
to
to
be
be
able to
that person.
handle that level of income. So it really is a case of if you want to cultivate and get a result in the belief, then you start to by just working internally, not trying to work it out, not trying to map out the steps. Just take yourself to that dwelling space of what it looks like, what it feels like, and hold on to that emotion. And then the path will reveal itself, and the people, the circumstances, and the ideas will come to you, and you'll find naturally taking the steps.
So recently, this isn't a question either, but recently I've been doing lots of nervous system like regulation. So all the kind of lymphatic stuff, the tapping and all that sort of stuff, because my nervous system was in quite a stressed state. Like I could tell with my body how I was feeling that it was felt very stressed. And so totally, this is me just because you've mentioned the word nervous system a few times. And so now my body feels much safer now because I have been doing things that is allowing my nervous system to regulate and to kind of calm down and feel safe. And would you say that something like that is important before you do this stuff, or do you think it is just kind of a works in
So technically,
with each
when we're
other?
talking about your body and your nerve, you need to think your body is just an expression of the mind. So
Also.
really, in the same way as how you can make yourself sick, you know, through thought alone, you know, through stress and worry, people get ulcers, they get migraines through thought alone, and it works in the opposite way as well. But really, when it comes to becoming a match for what you want, really it doesn't involve your body at all. In fact, the key there is to actually disconnect from your body and disconnect from your conscious, rational mind. And this is where you want to make sure, ideally, that you're laying down, seated down in one position. Some people do mental rehearsal, they do some breath work, some meditation. Why are they doing that? They're really doing it because there's a correlation between their breath and their thinking. You're
To get
having to
into
effectively
state.
slow down your conscious, rational mind. And this is why I talk about before you go into sleep, it being very important, because you start to go down from alpha brainwave states to more theta and delta, and your conscious, rational mind slowing down. And the part that you're really trying to connect with is your subconscious mind. That's your emotional mind. This is where all your habits, your beliefs, and paradigms and other things live. And that's the part of you that really where the manifestation comes into play. So when it comes to wanting to build up a belief system, you need to put yourself in almost like into neutral. You want to disconnect from the body but and slowing your conscious mind. And you want to have, and when we talk about in the same way that you want to build a muscle, the reps need to be here. This is you doing the mental reps. You're training your mind to anchor in a position, almost like having won that race. What does that scene look like? What do you see? What do you smell? What do you hear in your mind? And then when you say to yourself, okay, I've got the scene, what does it feel like? How am I feeling? Do I feel exhilarated? Do I feel safe? Do I feel secure? If it's love that you're seeking, a partnership, you're probably, a lot of people that I find in that situation go around looking at couples, and then it reaffirms, it jabs a knife in a little bit deeper, because like, well, I want that, I've not got that. It reaffirms a belief, reaffirms a feeling of something that you don't want. And what your job really is to understand that that is like digging up the seeds of any good work that you do. You want to start seeing that and then taking inspiration and saying, okay, how would it feel if you're out walking? How would it feel to be with my partner? What would we be talking about? And have that mental conversation. And that's how, because your nervous system, your subconscious mind, it doesn't know the difference between what's imagined and what's experienced through your five senses. And when you st this is the science behind this. This is where you start to really impress upon it. You don't need to tell anybody else about what your desires are. You don't need to expose yourself to their doubts, their rational mind, how long something takes, whether something's rational or not. In fact, if you look at many people in any industry, they will always be the people that have cultivated thoughts, images of things in their mind. But they've, and I see it all the time. I remember even, from people that I watch in talk shows, from being at Karen the Bar a few months ago when she was doing a tour, and she was saying, I always remember myself as a wee girl thinking I was on TV and imagining that. People are doing this all the time. What you don't realize is you're always consciously rehearsing or unconsciously rehearsing something. This is where you stop being an unconscious creator and you start being a conscious creator. But your mind needs direction. So you need to start impressing upon it more of what you want, more of the feelings of already having it, and start bringing that into a present tense. Start bringing that into, this is what I feel now, this is what's happening now. Because if you create that separation of it, it's going to happen or it's coming, you will always have that separation. You will always have that feeling of it's in the future. Whereas
It's not
creation
mine.
only happens in the now, in the present. So your job is to cultivate and really harness those emotions and really carry them with you throughout your day, every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like that, if you're coming from a place of lack is going to be what you'll continue to get. It's the same as the attitude for gratitude. It's the same idea, isn't it? So this is a question that I ask everybody, right? It's probably my favorite question because it's very interesting, right? What if you could go back? So obviously, like we spoke about you. I mean, we could literally speak for days. Like we really could. So we'll need to do another one on another subject. But so we spoke through how you've transformed in so many different ways and over a relatively short period of time. If you could go back and speak to, now this can be your perception of whether that's just the Ross of a couple of years ago or whether this is a Ross of back further than that, it's up to you. If you could go back and tell Ross something back then, what would you say to him?
It's funny because a lot of people think when they talk about your ego, and I think people really understand what your ego is, but it's that part of you that wants to keep you safe and what's known and familiar. It's usually they refer to it as being like your inner child, if it's from about a 7-year-old when you've maybe cultivated your understanding of how life operates, what your belief systems are. Really, you can do that at any point, and I do that. I used to do that when I would even think, and I remember, it's so funny. I always remember, and I touched on this, being at high school at one point and being at football and the goals, and I remember just wanting it to be over, but always having this voice, at one point we're just thinking, it's going to be okay, you'll get through this, it's done. And it's almost like a bit of, like, when you think about quantum physicists and things, they talk about quantum mentoring, how you can actually talk to yourself, and I've spoke about this previously, but it's quite a deep, thing for people to understand. But if you are constantly, people do this through, what's that word? Not meditation. They mesmerize people. What's that? Oh, I've lost the word. Hypnotizing.
Hypnosis, yeah.
Well, yeah, hypnosis is that they'll take them to go back and speak to their younger self. Now, and they're doing this in their conscious mind. Because you've lived these experiences. So what you can talk to yourself, you're always talking to yourself. You need to actually think about who is that voice that's in your mind and what's it saying to you, because there's always an inner dialogue. But you're not your mind. Your mind talks to you and you talk back. But you need to really, understand that you're the awareness between the thought. And you can actually start speaking to yourself. And I remember speaking to myself, and I've done this in countless times, thinking about speaking to that younger version of myself and the things that I've gone through. I think to myself about points in my life where I've not even thought that I was good enough to kind of get a next promotion or even get my own place, and where I've been stretched out at my aunt's like fold-out bed, one point. And I'll sometimes just refer back to that and just remind myself and say, it's all going to be okay. Look where you're at. Look what's happened. And it's kind of like in the same way, if you think you can do that now, and that's a very important question that a lot of people always say, or if you could speak to your past self, what would you say? What would you change? But think of it in the opposite way too. Think about asking, what is your future self, the one that's you, a version of you that's already got it? Ask also them for advice. So it can work both ways. You can
Yeah,
actually say
100%.
to them, what do I need to know about where I am and how I got from here to there? And then create space to hear what that is. And that intuitive insight might come when you're sitting still. It might come when you're in the shower. It might not come right away. It might come in a day or two later. But you're always having that internal dialogue with yourself. And I think if you cultivate a voice where you're able to give yourself assurance, and even when I've looked back at certain trials and tribulations that I've had, even in finances and things, I look back and you think it's the worst thing that could ever happen to you. And then you just need to look back at things that have happened that you forgot. And I can guarantee you forget so easily about what's happened before, because I think about moments where I thought, oh my God, this is the end of me. I'll never get through this. This is the worst thing. And you've got through
And you
it.
always do. Yeah.
So when you start actually reminding, and this is really trying to appease that little version of you that wants to stay safe, say, by the way, it's okay. We've been here before. We don't really have the answers just now, but we know where we want to be because we've kind of seen the end of the movie. We know how the movie is going to end up because I'm playing it in my mind all the time. I'm engaging with the feelings of already having it. So I've seen the end of the movie. We just need to remind ourselves that this isn't the end of the movie. And maybe just refer back to previous scenes where that seemed like the most catastrophic thing. And you are having that internal dialogue. So it's a very good practice to do, and something that I maybe not done previously a lot of, speaking back to my past self as much. Well, no, I tell a lie. I do that with certain things recently, especially when it comes to things in business and that I've struggled with. But you can also do it the opposite way, which is
Yeah,
also quite empowering.
absolutely. There's a sometimes I get my before I've got my coaches and stuff to do the future me thing. So like write
Oh
your
yeah, I
letter to
love
the
that.
future self, or there's also a website that you can do an email. I don't know if you know that. I think it's called Future Me actually, or
I think
Future
future me. I've done it.
something
Yep.
like that. Every where it'll send you an email, which is fascinating. Like when you get it and you're like, oh my God, like I can't believe like I wrote these. But it is. It's like that when you put it out there, you're then actively looking for that what you put out,
Cool. I mean, I
isn't
think
it?
last year, I mean, things that happened to me. Like last year, everything that I wanted that I put in my list, like when I was mapping out the year, happened a lot sooner. From starting interior design business, from the photo shoot, from being on a podcast, from things that I thought were so out there at one point, and then leaving my corporate job, I just put it down there as a floating notion of, oh, quite like that. I don't know how it's going to happen. Don't really doubt it a little bit. And then before you knew it, because you'd planted a seed, you can undo it. You can. Really, what determines whether or not you experience that is depending on how much energy you give it and how much focus. And by that, I mean not by striving and taking loads amounts of action and trying to work out game plans. It's more about just dwelling upon, okay, the end state. This is what science would refer to as living from the end or from the wish fulfilled. It's like you connect with the frequency of that which you want. So you need to hear the mood music of the version of you that's already got that lifestyle, that outcome that you desire.
Do you know every time you talk about frequency, I get like butterflies in my tummy. It's funny, isn't it? And you're talking about it earlier on, I was getting that like excitement, like that, like butterflies. It's
Yeah.
funny.
Love
It's interesting. Yeah, so incredible. Thank you so much. I mean, we literally could talk forever. But that was amazing. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And yeah, you're so articulate about exactly about things that seem so surreal, but you're very articulate and it makes it's so easy to understand. Does that make sense?
Totally. And I think for me, this is where I go back to the same concept of thinking, don't think you can just understand something once or read it once. That I listen and consume the same information in different guises all the time. And I've went through mentorships over the years with people that are really in this space, and from Bob Proctor's number one protege, been in a mentorship with them and from others, and coming at it from very different angles, but they're all it's all kind of harmonized together to help me really have more of a richness in my understanding, my awareness from not just even the neuroscience point of view, but from people that approach it from a more spiritual angle or from a business oriented angle. And it's quite a vast field. And when you start even delving into ancient Egyptians and, in numerology and astrology, it's all interconnected in ways, and you just realize, oh my God, there's just so much that I
So
don't know.
much.
And it's all very rich and empowering, but I think we're always at different points in our journey. And I think for me, part of what I've understood is that I'm never really here to force upon my belief system or my understanding upon anyone else, because I even just look at my own journey in the last 6 to 12 months, and that's constantly evolving and understanding. And sometimes I forget how much that I probably come and what my awareness and understanding is, because then I just assume that, well, that's just is what everyone knows, and it's just how everyone operates, and it's really not. And probably to some of the things that I do, it's even challenging things that some of my mentors and that have said or taught, because I obviously have evolved in my understanding and have my own spin that I can say, well, this pair, I'm kind of like cherry picking, and say, well, that makes sense. You've done it this way. I've got results here. This is how we do it. And this is why I kind of find that you start to steer away from, you've taken what you can grasp from, if not from people and what you can learn, and you say, okay, and you make it your own. And I think for everyone, depending on where we're at, it's all just a gate. It's always a case of trying to understand, okay, what do you believe about life and your role in it, why you're here? Are you falling into that trap of just thinking that it's the status quo of following a predetermined trajectory, or are you consciously acting upon and bringing to life those desires that are seeking you? Because it's a very beautiful way to think and actually know that whatever you're actually desiring in your life, it's not really coming out of thin air. It's really seeking expression through you, and you can either give it what I refer to as human parentage. You can either experience it or you can't, and you won't. And so many people that you see go through their life is that they just have regrets, because of chances that they've not taken. I even speak to people just now that are still thinking that way, even though they've still got breath in their lungs, thinking that they're no longer here. I'm
That's
like,
it.
you're kind of missing, you're still not any better from the way you were a couple of years ago or when you were there, because you're not realizing that you're still here. And if that desire is still there just now, then it means it must be something you can experience, because it wouldn't come to you. You might not be able to go back in time and have it at that exact age or whatever, but if it's a career or a pursuit that you want or an experience, then if you can, if it's still coming to you, then it
That
means
means,
it's still there. And your job is not really to create it, because your job is just to connect with the outcome of it and manifest it by dwelling upon the state. And this is where the miraculous comes, because your job is not to determine. With your logical, rational mind, it can only see potentially one avenue or one road in terms of how something can come to you. Where I want to tell you, there are infinite channels into how something can
Open
manifest.
up, yeah. peripheral, open it up, isn't it?
Yeah,
But that's when
surrender.
we spoke about, yeah, we spoke
Surrender.
about already about, and surrender is a big one, isn't it, for sure. We spoke about that already, about the importance of who you surround yourself with, and the importance of maybe like that. A lot of people might have these ideas, but will shut themselves off to it because maybe who they're speaking to or who's around them is like, oh, that's crazy. That's an absolutely crazy idea. What are you thinking? Da, 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 what about this? What about this? What about this? Whereas when you're in spaces or with coaches whatever that looks like, when you're in spaces or have coaches or have support networks that are actually championing you to be like, go for it. Then you're more likely to step in and expand and look at it from a different perspective than what this other perspective of what you've likely been in for X amount of years or X amount of decades.
And one thing that I would even say, I think that's so important is having the right network and right support. But equally, I would also say is to do the counter opposite of that as well, as to have actually a place where you're cultivating a space where you've not got anyone there.
Yes.
Because I don't think many people actually spend, especially in this day and age, it's probably unheard of for someone to even think about sitting in a room without your
In
phone, without
silence.
a digital distraction, without other people, and actually just be. And that might seem like the most counterintuitive thing that you could ever do, but it's probably one of some of the most powerful things that you can actually do, because it's only then that you'll start to understand who you are, what you think about, and
And with
start to,
clarity.
get the
Yeah.
insights. Because when I talked about that internal guidance system at the beginning, remember that voice will not scream at you. It just doesn't. It whispers, and it will only come through when you make space for it. So silence and solitude is a very, very important thing. Especially in this part of this journey, if you want to understand more about who you are and become more unstoppable, then you need to become that version of you that knows what you want and doesn't really need outer validation from other people or other things to tell you how it's going to happen. You just cultivate that feeling of already having from within, and that's where you go from being that uncertain version of you that doesn't know what they want to say, this is what I want, and it's already done.
I think it's so important that you said about the stillness. Like, it's so important, and that this has come from somebody who was always that busy fool who was like, I need to do. Whereas when you can be in that stillness, that is when the clarity comes. That is when the actual things come at you like a lightning bolt often. Or like you say, sometimes it is quite quiet, but a lot of the sometimes it is like somebody's just hit you with a thought or with a vision that is so powerful, but without the stillness, you wouldn't. There would be too much noise. There'd be too much noise to actually hear.
It's not even to say that it needs to be half an hour or something. It can mean something as simple as 5 minutes. And
Yeah.
even I in my personal experience, I wouldn't even say that the answers come there and then. All you've done is you've allowed a channel for it. And as I said, it might come later on, but you've at least created space. So it's not about expecting lightning bolts and miracles all the time. I mean, we all work differently, and I think when you actually put yourself to contemplate and think and give it direction in one thing, then yeah, the answers will come for that, but maybe not right away. But it's about creating space and giving yourself the clarity that this is what I want the answer to. This is, it's like when people off their homework or their project to the very last minute or an essay, it all comes together. Why? Because they're doing it in a space of concentration. There's no distraction. So that's why it's important to think about these almost like as wee time boxes or wee incubation periods where you're giving it, this is what I want. And also giving yourself space to not even have any kind of
Like preconceived.
yeah, just giving yourself permission to actually think, see what comes into your consciousness and what's streaming in and out of that. And it's sometimes nice to become an observer of the thoughts. And you'll have anywhere between 60 to 80,000 thoughts in a day. And you'll think, oh my God, it's even you actually start watching the storyline that makes a connection with a movie to an imagined scene to a something that happened yesterday to something that happened 10 years ago, and you're like, oh my God.
Do you know what? There was a study done about stillness and about being still, and Obviously, this world is not still, like, but everything is like geared to be busy, 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 busy. You're only successful if you're busy, sort of a thing. And there was a study done that I think it was, I don't know when it was. I'm going to totally crucify this, but basically, humans were given the option to sit in a room of stillness with no distraction, da, 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 or be electrocuted, and the majority of the people chose to be electrocuted. What do you think?
We're chasing the stimulus. That's why,
I mean, yeah,
and
totally.
we've been conditioned to think we make a connection between busyness and doing something with progress and performance, and that's why, because we've not really been taught really the
How to.
correlation between stillness, because it's not an easy thing to do, especially when you're conditioned to. I mean, most people when they wake up in the morning, they're reaching for their phone. You know, they're not. We're not in a society now where people, even beforehand, like a lot of people even like their own company, or even know how to have that relationship with themselves. So, or even have an awareness over what the thoughts, the paradigms, the belief systems that are governing their life, because we're not making space to allow that to come out, to become aware of it. And we're all very, there's no two individuals that are ever the same or ever will be. And when the only thing that's going to change the trajectory of your life is you, and not by you taking more action, but by you being more clear on what's important to you, why, what's even driving your behavior, why are you doing that? Are you doing something because you're actually trying to heal an old wound? Are you trying to pursue a sense of validation? Are you doing it for other people? What is driving your behavior to say yes or no to things? And does it align with the outcomes that you want? And when you just make more space to understand why you do certain things and what you want, then you start to slow down, and it's only in those times where you start to speed up a little bit more.
Absolutely. And on that note, we'll wrap it up, but thank you so much for coming on. That was amazing. What a conversation. Well, let us know where people can find you. Where can people find you?
Well, just now they're not going to find me because I'm retreating myself in the south of France. But no, I mean, I'm on all the platforms, Evolving Heights, so on Instagram, TikTok. I've obviously got my own community, my own platform, which is free for people to join, where I share a little bit more about insights, and then have my own offerings as well, where I work with people through one-to-one basis, through group style coaching, to just understand more about manifestation, to help them align with their desires. It's really about helping people. If people just want that next level of income, people just want that relationship, then that's all very well and good. I can help them get that. If they want to actually as well unravel a bit more, then that just becomes an added bonus too. And I'm all about helping people just become more conscious, and more aware of how they're creating their reality, so that we can shift their energy and realign their habits and their beliefs that just coincide with the identity and the version of them that's already got it.
Amazing. Love that. Anyway, thanks so much again for joining me. Thank you, everybody who's listening. Please respond, like hit us both up. Why
Yeah.
not? Like it, share it, do all that beautiful stuff. Thank you, and I will speak to you again next time. Bye.